Well, greetings, my friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel, a Christ-exalting program dedicated to presenting the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Now, friends, I'm grateful to God again today for this privilege I have of raising high the blood-stained banner of God's Son. And I thank God that I'm sheltered beneath that precious blood that alone cleanseth from all sin. But tell me, friends, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Are you sheltered by the blood of God's Son? Or perhaps you're like so many people today. You don't have time to think about eternity and where your soul will be after you die. You know, it grieves me when I think of poor souls passing out into eternity at the rate of over 90 every minute, 5,400 every hour, 130,000 every day, and over 47 million every year. And most of them, according to the Word of God, go down to a lost eternity in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Yes, most people who are accountable to God for their sin go down to hell with all of its torment and its pain and anguish. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Friend, as you sit in the comfort of your home or automobile today, listening to this radio program, ask yourself the questions in the fear of God alone. Where would my soul be if I died right now? If my heart stopped beating this very moment, where would my soul spend eternity? Friend, these are most solemn questions, are they not? Yes, and over in Isaiah 33 and verse 14, we read two more very solemn questions. Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burnings? Now let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, "Love Lifted Me."
Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. I was safely keeping him far from the peaceful shore. Stayed within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And so true, there is my soul that calls. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Me when I
God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. And we thank thee that those of us who are saved by the grace of God can sing of a truth today that love lifted me. We've been placed in Christ where there's therefore now no condemnation. And our God, we know that we're soon going to be in heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to claim from the world his own. But our God, we think of those who are yet in their sin. They're still on the broad road to the pit. We pray, our God, that if there are any listening in today, may thy Holy Spirit through thy word bring conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late. For we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy, I'll be using as my text for today three separate portions of the Word of God. The first found in the Gospel by Luke chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 10. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our second scripture in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now for the third and final scripture, again in the Gospel by Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and again the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking as we read, beginning at verse 34. Luke 17, verse 34. "I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left." And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, in the three portions of Scripture which I've just read to you today, we have brought before us some facts concerning every unredeemed sinner who may be listening to this broadcast of the gospel. First of all, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, we read that the unsaved sinner is lost in the sight of a holy God. Secondly, we read in Romans 5 and verse 8 that even though the sinner is lost, he is nevertheless loved by the God of heaven. And finally, in Luke chapter 17, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and those who are yet in their sins will be left to suffer the eternal wrath of a sin-hating God. Now then, let's just briefly analyze these three facts which pertain to every individual sinner who's never been saved by the grace of God. And in doing so, of course, we must depend upon the Word of God alone as our only authority. After all, friends, what you or I may think or say regarding the matter of salvation means absolutely nothing if it contradicts the revealed Word of God. Therefore, we must, in our discussion today, predicate our thinking upon the imperative premise that the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of Almighty God. And furthermore, any thought or statement unsubstantiated by the pages of Holy Writ cannot in any way alter the divine edicts from the lips of Almighty God. Now, getting back to our first scripture, Luke 19 and 10, we hear Jesus Christ declare that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. My, what a terrible word that is. And yet, sinner friend, that's your spiritual condition today if you've never been born again. God's word declares that you're lost. You're without God. You're without Christ. And you're without hope in the world. And friend, if you were to die in your present spiritual condition, your soul would drop into a lost sinner's hell. Yes, a lost sinner's hell, a place reserved for the devil and his angels. Now, perhaps someone is thinking, well, how did I become lost? When did it happen anyway? Well, friend, back in Psalm 51 and verse 5, we read that we're all born in sin and chastened in iniquity. And in Romans 5 and verse 12, we're told, "Wherefore, as by one man," meaning Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Again, the prophet tells us in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. In other words, my friends, because you and I are descendant from sinful parents, Adam and Eve, we have inherited their sinful nature, which you'll have to agree manifests itself in our sinful words, thoughts, and deeds. That's the reason Jesus Christ told the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus over in John chapter 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, our physical birth brought us into this world and into our parents' family as sinners. And if we ever expect to be born into God's family, we must be born by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Yes, friend, the Holy Spirit of God must use the Word of God to bring conviction and conversion to our soul. Now, friends, I believe the saddest part about your lost condition in God's sight is the fact that you're lost and you don't even realize it. Friend, if you're unsaved today, you probably don't realize that you're on the broad road to hell. In fact, if I were to ask you if you expect to be in heaven someday, I believe that most of you would say, well, I sure hope so, because after all, I'm not as bad as some people I know. I go to church, I say my prayers, I read the Bible once in a while, I've been baptized, confirmed, and dedicated, I've been received into our church membership, and so on and so on. Friend, let me ask you, have you ever been born again? Are you saved? Are you a truly born-again child of God? And if so, when did it happen? Where did it happen? And how did the new birth come about? Well, there's one thing sure, friends. If you've never realized your lost condition, then you can't possibly be on your way to heaven today. Because Jesus Christ says in our text that he came to die on the cross for those that are lost. Again, in Luke 5 and verse 32, he declares that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, right away, perhaps some of you will say, well, I'm one of the righteous, so I don't need Christ. Friend, again, I must refer you to the Word of God. In Romans chapter 3, God declared that there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And in verse 23 of that same Romans chapter 3, God sums it all up with these words, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's what God says, friend. That's what he says about you and I if we've never been saved by the grace of God. And I make no apology for the Word of God. Now, again, someone might be saying, well, I lead a good, clean, moral life, and I believe that God will look with favor upon my good deeds. My friend, as always, I can only refer you to the Word of God. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, God says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then over in Titus 3 and verse 5 we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. No, my friend, nowhere in the Bible does God say that he finds favor in your so-called good works. In fact, over in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, God declares that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, or good works, are as filthy rags. Now, just in case there's a lost sinner listening in today who still has a degree of self-pride in him, let me tell you that if you're still unsaved, unconverted, and unregenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, according to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, God sees you as nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Read it for yourself, friend. That's Isaiah 1 and verse 6. Because according to God's Word, and in God's sight, you're nothing but sin, covered with skin. Now, perhaps some of you are thinking, well, if what God says is true, why doesn't our preacher tell us these things? Why doesn't he tell us that we're lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinners? Friend, if your preacher or priest is not preaching the ruin of man and God's remedy through faith in Jesus Christ, he's not preaching the gospel. Perhaps he's not saved himself, or perhaps he knows you wouldn't listen to him if he did preach the truth. Friend, the word gospel means good news or glad tidings. Ah, but it's only good news to those who realize that they're lost and then who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And furthermore, if there's a so-called doctor of divinity listening in today and you've never been born again, well, friend, those initials DD after your name simply mean doomed and damned, and you too are headed for hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And mind you, my friend, I say that in love for your soul and in the fear of God alone. This then leads us to our second text for today, Romans 5 and verse 8, There we read that even though we're lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinners, nevertheless, God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, friends, thank God. Even though we're lost, we're still loved. And even though God hates sin with an infinite hatred, nevertheless, he loves the sinner with an infinite love. And furthermore, if it wasn't for the love of God, there'd be no Voice of the Gospel broadcast today. Because if we were given our just deserts, we would all be banished from God's presence forever and forever. Yes, if it wasn't for the love of God, we'd all be doomed and damned to an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. You know, friends, I often think of that verse in John chapter 3, which has led millions to the Lord Jesus Christ, including my own father. There in John 3 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me repeat that. Friend, I want you to know in John 3 and 16 that Jesus Christ declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means you and I and everyone else, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, my friends, I'll have to confess that I personally can't understand such love. No, I can't understand how God could part with the darling of his bosom and send his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to die on the old rugged cross. I can't understand how God could be made flesh and dwell among his sinful creatures here on earth. I can't understand how God could let his Son die the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary. No, I can't understand how it could please God the Father to bruise Jesus Christ the Son. And yet, my friends, the Word of God is true. He did send his Son from heaven. He did dwell among his sinful creature, man. He did suffer the cursed death of the cross. And God did find divine pleasure in the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is love. Yes, the heart of God is overflowing with love for the lost sinner. And friend, you may not heed the gospel message today, and you may mock and scoff at this poor old preacher of the gospel. But listen, my friend, if you trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ and go down to a lost sinner's hell, I want you to know that you're grieving the heart of a loving God. Yes, God has made it quite clear that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But again, I remind you that God's love is only extended to those who want it. He's not going to force his salvation on anyone. So it's entirely up to you, my friend. You can take it or leave it. But I must warn you in love for your soul that the end result of casting aside the love and the mercy and the grace of God is eternal punishment in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. In John 3 and verse 36, we read that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now then, in the time remaining, let's take a brief look at our third scripture, and that was found in Luke chapter 17, verses 34, 35, and 36. There the Lord Jesus Christ tells us of the terrible separation which will take place when the Lord comes to claim from the world his own. My, what a vivid description we have. Two people shall be sleeping together. One shall be taken, the other left. Two people shall be out working in the fields, when one shall be taken and the other shall be left. And two people shall be going about their daily work, when one shall be taken and the other left. Oh, listen, sinner friend. If there's one thing I'm sure of today, apart from my soul salvation through faith in the blood of Christ, it's the fact that the second coming of God's Son is very, very near. Yes, even at the door. All signs given in the Bible point to his soon return. And then what? Those that have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will be left to suffer the eternal wrath of God. No more gospel preaching led by the Holy Spirit of God. No more fervent prayers said on your behalf. No more family altar to endure as a rebel sinner. No more gospel broadcast to stir your soul. No, my friend, if you're not a child of God when Jesus Christ comes again, you'll have nothing to look forward to but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, And some of you will be like the five foolish virgins that we read about in Matthew chapter 25, who were left behind when the bridegroom came. And you too will have to say it's too late. Too late. Too late, too late will be your cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed you by. But friend, I want you to know that God loves you today. God wants you to know today that there is still time to be saved. Yes, he declares in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again in Hebrews 4 and 7, God says, "Today," not tomorrow, "but today if ye will hear my voice, harden not your hearts." So that's it, friend. The mercy of God is extended to you today, and you can be saved or born again right where you are if you'll only take God at his word. Just acknowledge that you're the lost sinner for whom Jesus Christ has died. And if you really believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin at Calvary's cross and shed that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sin, friend, if you believe that with all your heart, you'll be saved right now. Yes, it's a promise of a God who cannot lie. On the other hand, if you fail to acknowledge that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner, and if you fail to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and if you continue to neglect so great a salvation, well, friend, God makes it quite clear that you'll spend all eternity weeping and wailing and grinding your teeth. Oh, sinner friend, I plead with you today, let my Savior Jesus Christ become your Savior too. And friend, if you do, you'll know the joy of sins forgiven. You'll be born again by the Spirit and Word of God. You'll be saved from wrath to come, and you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. In closing, my friend, let me remind you of the warning that God gives back in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved, hard of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So friend, right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we again bow in thy presence today to thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that he was the expression of thy love and thy mercy and thy grace to a fallen race. We thank thee for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Bless thy word that has just gone forth. Honor afresh thy Son. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, you are with me.
friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if there's an unsaved sinner listening in today with whom the Holy Spirit of God is really dealing for your soul, friend, why not do just as you've been hearing in word and song today? Why not come to Jesus Christ? In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel broadcast speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.